Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17. We are going to read of God's marvelous grace, sustaining His servant through famine and drought. Amazing, amazing grace of God. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Before we read, let me ask you, have any of you ever been faced with the problem, where shall we get the next meal? Is there anyone here who has been faced with that? Or tomorrow's meal? Oh, the rice is finished, and what shall we eat for tomorrow? This is the problem with Elijah, the prophet of God. Remember, Elijah was one of two men who did not see death, that God took straight up to heaven. And we are going to read the story of Elijah. Verse 1, and we read this responsively, the first 16 verses. The verses are fairly long, so we shall read responsively. I shall begin. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that it is before thee, before the Jordan. And it shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her, said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch the water, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. How sad. Is that our reading? Up to verse 16, we have got some more. All right, I'll continue. And Elijah said to her, fear not, fear not. Go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after that, for thyself and thy son. Until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth, verse 15 and 16 together. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen. What a wonderful, beautiful story. I want to repeat the question I asked a moment ago. Has anyone in our midst been deprived of the means of living and had to wonder, where shall we get the next meal from? Or where shall we get tomorrow's meal from? We have enough for today. This is a situation that faced the prophet of God. Now you say, I'm not the prophet of God. How can I expect God to feed me? This is the test. Shall any servant of God, any believer, ever be starved to death? Can it be that God is powerless to help in such a situation? This is the question tonight. A test of our faith. Dare you trust such a God who saved our souls and cannot save the body which is of much less value than the soul? So it was such a situation that faced our family. And for that, I'm here to give testimony. But more important than saving our bodies was the salvation of our soul that came to us. I'm going to tell the story as I have been told by my parents. Remember, in those days, China was largely an idol-worshipping community. Our family was no exception. Our great-grandparents and our whole clan of relatives in China worship ancestors and idols. And out of the West, God sent a man. Here he is. You may have heard of his name. William Chalmers Burns. Who was William Burns? If you have heard the name of Robert Murray McChain, Robert Murray McChain was the most famous preacher and revivalist of Scotland. And his co-worker and partner was William Chalmers Burns. Whereas God used Robert Murray McChain primarily in Scotland, God called Chalmers Burns to China. He was about the same time as Hudson Taylor, who is better known because he and his work spread through the whole of China, whereas William Chalmers Burns came to the south of China. And he ministered to the Hokkien people and the Teochew people. So much so that he fell in love with the language. He learned to speak Hokkien and Teochew. And here he is. Not only that, he wore a Chinese long dress and wore a Chinese cap. Here you see him. This is William Chalmers Burns. Now, what relationship has he got to our family, you say? Why are you talking about him? Great-grandfather and grandfather went from the village one day out of curiosity. Here's the Ang Mo. Speaking our dialect, we're going to hear him, what he has got to say. And there they heard the gospel in our native dialect, spoken by an Ang Mo. The message was so wonderful, touched their hearts, they were converted. Came home and cast away all their idols. That is the best thing. Spiritual starvation can starve the whole soul to death. Much, much worse than physical starvation. Do you know that? We who have the gospel in Jesus Christ, thank God, our souls shall live forever. And God will surely take care of our bodies. With the conversion of grandfather, great-grandfather, the whole family was converted. And the villagers said, this whole family will be extinct. To desert and to cast away the family, household, idols, that is a sign of curse from heaven. Father persevered. God bless. One day he decided to emigrate to Malaysia. Here it is. And Father had a sort of a poetic mind. He saw a beautiful garden instead of a rubber estate. So he called it Tao Jiang Yuan. This is a picture of those days drawn by Mr. Goh Seng Lim sitting over there. He's my artist, Mr. Goh. You are by now, you ought to know. Of course, I had described to him and said, this is about it. Please draw it. And so, here you have an idea of where we lived. Where is Senai? Where the airport of Johor Bahru is. And we live in a house. I don't think it was as grand as Mr. Goh has made it. But this looks quite good. I don't mind living there. So this was an idea of where we lived. Inside the rubber estate, it was not bad. Except you have no neighbors, no friends. All you have is the tappers as your friends. So they came to tap until Wall Street crashed. Have you not heard of Wall Street? A very short street in America, in New York. And there is the nerve center of the whole world's trading apparatus. Up and down, the market is controlled from Wall Street. 1929 came the crash. After things had been jittery for maybe a year or so, the crash came and immediately Father said, how to live? How to live? When your rubber falls from $100 to $10, Father says, I didn't even have money to buy my tobacco to smoke. Not to say buy the rice for the family. So here, thank God, thank Mr. Goh for drawing this picture of our rubber estate. Do you see the rubber coming out of the shaving of the bark? And your laborers will shave the bark every morning at 4 to 5 a.m. And by the time of 7 or 8 o'clock, they finished their work. But now all the trees, 73 acres, were idle. Father says, you don't even have enough to pay the laborers to go and cut. Why cut? So everybody took a rest, waiting for the next meal. Will God feed us? Of course, friends supplied. And one of the friends was the father of the former minister of finance called Richard Hu. His father was a well-known philanthropist and medical practitioner in Chinatown, Cross Street, Upper Cross Street. And he gave father sustenance. But that cannot go on forever. So a friend of father's advised him, come on, you got the license to practice. No, you have the skill to practice, except you have no license. If you don't have no license and try to practice, you'll be put into prison. You know that. So this friend says, let me bring you to see my chief, Dr. Garlic in Johor Bahru. Will Dr. Garlic give you a license to practice? He interviewed father and came to the conclusion, no. Your training in China Swatow is worthless. I'm sorry, I cannot give you the license. So here is Dr. Garlic. Those of you who live in the Holland Road area will recognize his name in the little road called Garlic Avenue. Has anyone seen Garlic Avenue? Yes, 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 yes. Many nods, yes. So he retired in Singapore, married a Chinese wife, settled in Singapore. I quote these names, that these are household names in our family. So father went to him, he says, no, sorry, my hands are tied, but our friend says, never mind, we go to Singapore. Singapore, there is a man above Dr. Garlic, we'll try him. So we went, and the interview was successful. This man asked father, you speak French? No. English? Of course, you can't speak one word of English. What do you speak? I speak some Latin. Oh, in those days, when you practice medicine, you must learn some kind of Latin. Because all the medicines and the tinctures and the lotions, etc., are all in Latin. So this superior man in Singapore was quite impressed. You know Latin, let's see you prescribe. Our father says, by all means, I will write for you. Of course, he didn't tell him. The mixture I take daily for my own stomach dyspepsia. Every day I feel the pain in the stomach, I got to use this prescription in Latin. Flawless Latin wrote for. Wow, this man was impressed. This China bumpkin knows how to write Latin. Immediately he says, I will give you a license. Call up Dr. Garlic in Johor Bahru, give him the license. And he got it. Dear friends, that license is worth more than 3 bowls of rice a day. It enabled father to start practice. Even though you collect $10 or $20 a day, it is still good money. You can buy some rice. So that license stood him for 25 years until I had become a doctor. So God is good. Can God sustain you through days of famine? For Elijah, God sent ravens. God didn't send any raven to us. But God does not need to repeat what he did for someone else. God gave a license. You believe this? Our dear friends, when you trust in the Lord, there are things he does that you never dreamt of. Now, better than being fed with 3 bowls of rice is to receive the message of salvation and revival. So the better than Dr. Garlic came Dr. John Sung. To most of you here would be only a name. I think most of you by now have heard of Dr. John Sung. We were in Kluang. And the principal of the kindergarten was a Miss Wu. You can see her face there. She happened to be the only one who could interpret for Dr. John Sung. He tried so many interpreters. One after another were being sacked by him. No good. Not fast enough and not accurate. And add and subtract, no good. We want someone who interprets just what I say. And Miss Wu came along and she qualified. Of all the men, no man qualified. She was the only one. And she happened to be mother's best friend in Kluang, the principal of the kindergarten. How important to get a good kindergarten principal. And so she was the interpreter. I say all this because out of Dr. John Sung came revival in our whole family. Today you can only read of John Sung, only read of him. Because God told him, John Sung, you are given 15 years. My dear friends, on the 15th year, exactly, in 1944, he died of cancer. But he had done the work. At least a few 100,000 Chinese were saved through him. Whose estimate? His own modest estimate. Because every meeting, no hall could contain the people who wanted to hear him. And any time, every time, when he preached to them to repent of their sins, was just like John the Baptist. You read the account of John the Baptist. He says, the whole of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, they all flocked to hear him. Thousands upon thousands to hear what? John the Baptist. Now here is a John Baptist from China called John Sung. When he preached, everybody wanted to repent. Those who came to the front were always a crowd of them. Every meeting caused people to repent in tears. No holy laughter and holy joking. Not at all. But men and women, grown men and women came to the front and confessed their sins. Every kind of sin was confessed. Those who stole and cheated brought all the things they've stolen. Amazing. One man came with three wives. Two of them, all three were converted. Two of them retired at once. We will go and be missionaries in the seminary to prepare to serve the Lord, no longer as second and third wives for this man. And that man also got saved. Everybody got saved. Amazing. So this is the best thing that happened to our family. God saved the family from famine, but more important, sent us revival and the food of God. Where was this revival held? You can see this building still in Telok Ayer Street. Go along that street and look at this building preserved as a monument. The Telok Ayer Methodist Chinese Church. Here it is. And I was revived during those meetings. And in the last meeting in Mua, Dr. John Sung challenged the congregation, who among you will want to serve the Lord and give yourself full time? Hands up. So he prayed for us. I never forgotten. I was 13. Now all the years have gone by. About 75 years have gone. But was it worth it? You ask me, was it worth it? I say, you cannot buy that kind of blessing with money. It's worth everything and anything. So what is tonight's lesson? Much more important than relief of a physical famine is the relief of the spiritual famine. What we're having today is a minor spiritual famine. It's very difficult to get people to come to Sunset Gospel Hour. Tonight is a special one. I don't know what caused so many to come tonight. Maybe they want to see what's happening tonight. But dear friends, pray that God will revive you. Physical hunger and starvation is small fry compared to spiritual starvation and hunger and death. Oh, my friends, let us close with a hymn that revives us. The hymn announced in our